Father, I just thank you for your presence, Lord. I just want to pause and acknowledge your presence, that you're here. And I just thank you for your presence, for your sweet, sweet presence in our midst. Lord, your word says where two or three are gathered, not just in the same room, but gathered together, that you're there. And Lord, I feel that gathering together. I feel that unity of heart. I feel that unity of love towards you. Yes. And I thank you, Lord, that we've been able to express our hearts together, Lord, as we've worshiped you. And Lord, as we've also made petition, Lord, as we've interceded for yet a greater releasing of your working in our midst, in our hearts, in our lives, in our nation. We thank you, Lord. Now, Father, as we share in your word together, I'm asking for broken bread. Lord, that which will minister, that which will impart spirit and life, Lord, that we might receive. And I just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise God. We have a little dog named Jethro. So if any of you have been to our house, you know Jethro. He's a little Shih Tzu poodle mix. He's only about 13 pounds. He's fluffy, he's black and white, and he's always wagging his tail. He loves people, and he's the official greeter in our house. When people come to our house, he wants to say hello to everybody. But our little Jethro, he's my first dog. My husband has had several. But it's been a delight for me to have Jethro in the house and a part of the household. And there's an eagerness in Jethro that touches my heart. When I call Jethro, or if Alan calls Jethro, he doesn't walk, he runs. I mean, he just comes running. If he wants a treat, he'll go to his mat and he'll just stand there looking at us. It's amazing the way he can communicate with his eyes and just his posture. Last night he knew something was going on. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he knew something was going to happen. And rather than choosing the comforts of his bed or even the couch, he stayed right between us and the door all night on the floor. No one was going to go out of that house without him knowing it. Somehow he could sense it when something is going on, and he's just right there. When we go out, he'll sit and he'll watch at the door until we get home. He'll just stay right there at the door. And then when we do get home, I have some cameras there where we can see him. He'll get so excited, he'll start running circles around the living room. He goes across the living room, up the couch, across the love seat, around, and then he'll peek out the window to make sure we're coming, and he'll run again. He's just so excited, he can't contain it. He just has to do something. I remember one time, it was back a few years ago, where I had had an outpatient procedure done. And that particular time when I came home, Jethro was very quiet. Somehow he knew. And I came in and I sat down on the couch. He came over and he sat down beside me. He pushed his nose on my arm and then he started to cry. There was something that he could sense, that he could feel. He's just a dog, but there's something within his nature that is sensitive and it's responsive. He's caring, he's loving, he's loyal, and he's eager. He loves to please. That particular breed is easy to train because they love to please. But he takes delight in hearing and in obeying and know that he's done good. there's some verses that have been echoing in my heart out of the Gospel of John. And I have them written down here just to save time. I'll give you the passages if you'd like to turn to them or to look at them later. But in John, it talks about in the beginning verses. In fact, let me just read a few of these verses. I'm reading from the King James, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then there was a man, I'm in verse 6, sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I'm just going to be talking about these verses a little bit. Verse 5 spoke of the light shining in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 10 speaks of Jesus, the true light, being in the world, the very world that was made by him, but yet the world knew him not. In verse 11, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. Can you imagine Christ coming, and there were not those expectantly watching and waiting, looking to welcome him? The very world which he created did not know him and did not recognize him when he came. The Greek word for world is kosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S, which means the earth and all its arrangements. And the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ's first coming was to lift man from a merely earthly arrangement and to bring him into an arrangement of the kingdom of God. He came unto his own, to those belonging to this earth's arrangements. His own, that can mean the Jews. It can also include all of mankind, his creation. But they did not take him to themselves. This taking has to do with a spiritual taking into one's heart and into one's beliefs. If you remember, even his disciples did not fully take him as the Lamb of God until after the resurrection. They didn't fully understand. They didn't fully recognize him. But John goes on to speak of those who did and who do accept Christ. And to these who receive him, to them he gives power that they might become the sons of God. even to them that believe on his name. The Amplified says it like this: but as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, the power, the privilege, the right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in or adhere to, trust in, rely on his name. The Greek says it like this: moreover, as many as reached out and took him, to the ones believing in his name, he gave them authority to be or become the children of God. In other words, to those who reached out in a spiritual sense, having some measure of faith, which moved towards him, towards the Lord Jesus Christ, were brought into a family relationship with him. The world didn't recognize him. They didn't receive him. They didn't reach out to welcome him or to receive him. But to those who did, he gave them the authority or the right to become part of the family of God. And these ones were born, speaking of the children of God, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In other words, it's not mere Jewish descent. Natural, physical blood does not birth a spiritual child. All children of God are born out from our Heavenly Father. And all must come to Christ in the same way. There's no exceptions. It's through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith and repentance, that I am justified, made just as if I had never sinned, and I'm changed. There's a conversion that takes place in my life where I become one with Christ Jesus. I become a part of his family. Yeah. A changed life gives evidence to Christ living inside of us. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I like to say my son, now he wasn't born 21. He started off as a babe. So as a newborn babe, when we are born again, we're to desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow. His blood has covered our sins. But now we are to grow up into him experientially in every area of our lives, that as he is, so we may be in the world today. And what we see with the first coming of Christ, when Jesus came the first time as a lamb, those who recognized him, those who didn't fully recognize him, but recognized him somewhat. John was sent as a witness to bear witness of that light. There were those in varying degrees who recognized him, but there were those who did not recognize him. There were those who did not believe. There were those who did believe as they came to know who he was. Faith started to come into their hearts and they started to believe. And we see that same thing today. We see, even in the church, we see it in life, we see it in society. Those who believe and those who don't believe. And we see an increasing conflict taking place in society today between light and between darkness, between love and between hate, with a notable increase that is coming during our lifetimes. Jesus is the true light. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. But there is also a counterfeit light, an imitation of true light. We see that in Genesis 3:7, where man disobeyed God and reached toward the tree they had been told not to partake of. And their eyes opened, and they knew there was a counterfeit light, knowing good, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a counterfeit light. They knew that they were naked. And that light was really darkness. It was a counterfeit light. It was that which came through disobedience as they partook of the tree they were told not to partake of. And Matthew 6:23 tells us that if the light, that counterfeit light, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And we're seeing that today, this counterfeit light that is impacting lives, this knowledge that is not born in God. It doesn't come from the light that comes from God. It's a counterfeit light. That light, how great is the darkness of it? How great is the darkness of it? And we're seeing the unfolding of that darkness today, I believe, as never before. During this time of conflict between light and darkness, where this counterfeit light, this great darkness, is impacting our society, how are we to position ourselves? How are we to live? I believe we're to be like little Jethro. We're to be watching. We're to be waiting. We're to be sensitive. We're to be responsive. We're to be eager. We're to be learning to hear and learning to obey. We're to take great delight in living lives that are pleasing unto the Lord. And we are to desire to be in fellowship with Him. Yes. Every moment of every day. I believe that we are to take heed of our lives, the way we are living, what we are building day by day through the decisions that we make. Matthew 7:24 talks about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. Our life has, our walk, our relationship has to be established on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no other way that we are going to stand in the time frame before us other than being firmly connected to the vine. We need to be established in our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can stand, so that we can be a light to others, so that we can be a godly example to others, so that we can be an encouragement to others, but also so that we ourselves are able to stand. 1 Timothy 6:12 tells us that we are to fight the good fight of faith. It's the only place in the New Testament that I'm aware of that defines what this fight is that we're involved in. There's this great conflict going on between light and darkness. We saw it at the first coming of Christ as we transitioned from the day of law into the day of the church age, the day of grace. We're again at a transitory time as we move from the church age into the kingdom age, and we're again seeing this powerful conflict of true light and counterfeit light. Yeah. Light and darkness. A tremendous conflict going on. We are to fight the good fight of faith. Yes. We are to remain established in our walk in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only are we able to stand, but encourage others. Matthew 5:13 tells us that we are to be as salt. Salt has a preserving quality. It also adds a flavor, a taste that is pleasant. We are that in the earth today which the Lord can take pleasure in when He looks upon the earth. We are to be as salt, that the Lord might take pleasure in our lives. There's a preserving quality as the saints are in the earth, where corruption is held back, where it's slowed down. We know certain things are going to happen, but there's a holding back of the powers of the darkness through the prayers and the saints. But we're also to be that which the Lord can take pleasure in as He looks at the earth. Acts 1:8, we are to be a witness, a sample of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:27, we're carriers of His presence, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Luke 21:28, we are to look up. We're to keep our eyes on Jesus, on what He's doing. What is He saying? What is He doing in the midst of all of this? Look up. All of this is going on down here. We are to look up. Little Jethro, he's only, how tall is he, Alan?
Maybe 2 feet.
He's 2 feet at the most. He knows how to look up. He'll just look up and he's catching your countenance. We need to look up. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
We need to be focused on Him. We need to be hearing what He's saying and what He's doing, so that Isaiah 60:1, we might be part of that which He's doing in the earth today. Amen. There is gross darkness on the earth, but we are to arise and we are to shine, because His glory is going to be seen in and through a people. Just like the waters cover the sea ocean, His glory is going to be seen in and through a people. It's interesting, as I was looking at John's Gospel. John is a book, one of the book of the Bibles that I used to teach when I taught at a Bible school. But in John's Gospel, as there's this contending between true light and false life, light, there's this conflict between light and darkness, that right while there's all this conflict going on, there is a development of faith that is taking place in some, while there's a hostility growing in others. Do you see that today?
Yes.
There's a development of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in some through the conflict that's going on, while in others there's an increased hostility or rejection of Christ taking place. In the midst of the conflict that was taking place in Jesus' first coming, Jesus not only overcame death Himself, but He brought life to those who believed. God's purpose was fulfilled. And I believe in the midst of the increasing conflict that we are seeing today, that Jesus is working. Jesus is moving.
All the time.
His eternal purposes are moving forward. There is a kingdom being established. There is an overcoming people who are coming forth as witnesses, as carriers of His presence. And there is a harvest that is yet to be brought into the church. How sad. I was thinking of that with Jesus' first coming. The very world that he had created. How sad not to recognize him. Not to receive him. Not to embrace who he is and what he was doing. How sad if today we don't recognize him in the midst of all that is going on. Receive him, that which he is doing. Become a part of that which is on his heart. I want to encourage us today that we stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ in the days ahead. I don't know about you, but I read some things on the news. I hear some things. I don't listen to the news for a long time. I try to catch the headlines so I get the gist of it, and that's enough. And sometimes it's so troubling what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing. You let that get in your spirit, it's just agony. We need to stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be aware, but yet we are praying into his purposes moving forward.
Yes.
Into his glory being made known.
Yes.
Into that which he is doing in the hearts of man today.
Yes.
We need to remember the battle that we're really in. It's the good fight of faith.
Yes.
And we need to realize that though there's a struggle between good and evil that is taking place today, that just like the culmination, when you look at John's gospel and the first coming of Christ, the culmination was not the crucifixion, but the resurrection.
Amen.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We don't just see conflict, we see victory.
Amen.
We see love that overcame hate.
Yes.
We see life that overcame death.
Yes.
We see light that overcomes darkness.
Amen.
We see spirit that overcomes flesh. And I believe that today there's a victory that we're being called to be a part of.
Yes.
As the Lord's purposes continue to move forward. How? A simplicity of love and devotion.
Yes.
It's not complicated. It's not hard.
Amen.
As we love the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're watching for him, as we're sensitive and responsive, like little Jethro, he was excited to see me, but if I have a burden, he's gonna share my burden with me. Being sensitive, responsive, being able to be joined with the Lord, the heart of God.
Amen.
As we love him, as we fellowship with him, but also share with him and that which he's doing today. I appreciate that intercession that came today. It was coming through the worship. There was an intercession for the presence of the Lord, for our nations, for our homes, for our families, circumstances. That was on the Lord's heart. We were able to participate with him. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us to be able to pray according to the will of God. But through a simplicity of love and devotion. So I'm learning to hear and to obey. As I'm learning to fellowship with him in those things that are on his heart. As I'm learning to live an upright and godly life. And as I'm taking joy and being pleasing to the Lord, a witness unto him.
Yes.
That there might also be an impact on others.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. This, yes, Lord, just one yes at a time. You've heard me mention it. The Lord showed me once that it wasn't just yes, Lord, but it was delighting to do his will. I was saying a yes once to a friend, rather reluctantly. And I wanted them to know how much I loved them. And I wanted them to know how much I didn't want to do this. And I thought by letting them know how much I didn't want to say yes, but was saying yes anyhow, they would be flattered. They weren't. They didn't like it at all. And God spoke to me and said, "You do that to me all the time. My people do that to me all the time. It's a willing yes. I delight to do your will, one yes at a time. But as it becomes our delight, our heart's desire, living an upright and godly life, taking joy in pleasing Him, taking joy in our times of fellowship with Him." And that's simply my prayer today, that each one would be strengthened and encouraged in their walk with the Lord. We're in a transitory time, just like we were moving from the law into grace. As we move from grace into kingdom, there's a conflict of the ages. Light and darkness battling. We're part of the light. We're a part of that overcoming people the Lord is bringing forth. He's victorious. And He's calling us to be a part of that victory with Him. There's that which is of eternal value that we can intercede for and pray for and believe for, as it relates to a people being brought into the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And a people coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior.
Yes.
And a people who do know the Lord being brought up into His higher purposes.
Yes. Yes.
Coming into a closer walk with Him.
Amen.
May we be a people today who are settled in our faith. A people who, in the midst of conflict and confusion, know His peace.
Yes.
Know His presence. Know His love. And can share that peace and love with others as His presence is made known through our lives. However God would use us, may we be rooted and grounded in Him. Not part of the problem.
That's a good word. Yes.
But part of that which God is doing.
Yes.
As
Amen.
He brings forth His kingdom, a triumphant people.
Yes.
Into His victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to end with that song, "Oh, how abundant is thy goodness," so that we can focus on the Lord, so that we can focus on His goodness, so that we can focus on who He is. And may that song continue to ring in our hearts, the goodness of God.
Amen.
The goodness of God. He's brought us to a place of repentance. He's called us to become part of the family of God. We know His goodness. And may we share that goodness with others.
Amen.
Would you sing it, Alan?
Let's do the chorus for us. You should know by now.
Oh, how abundant is thy goodness, which thou hast made for me. Your goodness, O great, I cannot forget, for you have set me free. May all who seek me be glad. continually. Oh, how great is our God. Oh, how abundant is thy goodness, which thou hast laid for me. Your goodness, O
in the midst of confusion, in the midst of conflict, in the midst of all that is going on, that we would not be consumed with that. We would not be carriers of that, but we would be carriers of you. That in the midst of it, we might be a light, Lord, that would lead others to eternal life. Hallelujah. As the Christ within us is seen and made known. We ask, Lord, today for just a strengthening of your people. Lord, your blessing on each one. Every home, every family, every life, every situation and circumstance. Lord, that you would just bless each one. That you would make a provision where there is need. That you would move, Lord. Father, that you would be glorified in and through our lives. Father, we just thank you for your goodness, that you have made your goodness known to us, and that we're carriers of that goodness as we are out and about in the marketplace, and that we can share that goodness with others. We thank you, Lord. We just ask for that testimony to shine as never before, that you would be seen and that you would be glorified. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.